Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Holy and gracious God, we do pray that always that you are our vision for our lives, individually and for this church, Lord. And as we receive this message today, may it further challenge us and educate us to the importance of you as our vision in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Anyone who knows me knows I love to play games, and so when I talk about game night, I know I'm going to be there if I'm not sick or have some other reason I can't be there. And before us are a bunch of children's blocks, and I think that children's blocks are kind of one of the beginning ways that we learn to play probably a more adult-like children blocks as we play Jenga, right? And the concept is similar in that the idea is in order to build a taller and taller structure, it's most important that the foundation has been strong, as it will sustain that building. Otherwise, there's less likely that it will be able to grow any higher. So I know that as I have created with these blocks this little tiny foundation, I know that it isn't going to take much movement at all for my building to fall, because I know that foundation was not strong. And so what I want to do is to connect this visual for us today with the concept of discipleship, how important it is that we have a very strong foundation for our faith and for this church. So as I talk about the vision of Carmel United Methodist Church for 2018, and as it connects with the general church in this country, Jenga is this good metaphor for us. As we consider what is a foundation, I think that many, many years ago, Christians and churches had a much easier ride in the United States. In fact, 50 years ago, if you had thought that Christmas decorations such as the nativity scene would be banned from the property, public property, we probably would have thought there is just no way. Because this nation was founded on biblical principles, but over the years, church membership has taken on a cultural and social meaning as opposed to as much of a spiritual meaning identified by changed life and following Christ to the cross. In years past, people accepted the Bible as truth, and the church was the moral compass and conscience. The church had a home field advantage. The church around, people knew that Christians were at church on Sunday. They knew that, whether they too attended church or not. And the mid-20th century began kind of a beginning of a change in thinking. And for the first time in our history, moral and theological rebellion has come and found traction within our world. And I don't feel that the debates within the Christian church themselves or the changing culture around us means that necessarily the church is absolutely failing. But I believe it is. It says to us that we need to do some work. We need to wake up. We need to truly know our foundation, what our foundation is, and then from there learn what are the building blocks that we can use to build upon our foundation. I believe that it's not God has not deserted us, but perhaps we're deserting God in some ways, and therefore perhaps some of the building that we're doing is not as strong as God would intend. So my first question today is, do we know our purpose as Christians any longer? Do we know our foundation? You know, everybody has to have some kind of a purpose and some kind of a movement in a direction. And purpose is developed in one of two ways. We can have a purpose by default, and we just kind of let it happen. It's kind of a que sera, sera, whatever it's going to be, will be. But the second way we can develop our foundation is to be intentional, to intentionally know our purpose. And as Christians, we can know intentionally our purpose as we continue to read the scriptures and consult with other Christians and to be prayerful. Those are the ways that we can more and more connect with our foundation so that we can know that our building will be strong. The mission of the United Methodist Church, the mission and the vision, have sought God's direction in developing of this mission and vision for this church. the development of those went right to the word of scripture and said, okay, what are the scriptures that are so foundational that we say this is what we build our church upon? And so I feel that there are two specifically that are inarguably the strong piece of our foundation. First of all, from Matthew 22, 37, 39. And I know you, I'm certain you've heard these. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then we move to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I believe with these two scriptures in mind, the United Methodist Church, the big United Methodist Church, developed its mission statement of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. A mission statement that stays for us to guide all of the individual churches. And then we, as one of the many churches of the United Methodist Church, many years ago, developed our vision statement, again, in mind with these scriptures and in mind with the umbrella of the mission of the United Methodist Church. Our vision is connecting with God and others, growing in faith and love through biblical learning, and serving our community and world as followers of Jesus Christ. Paul and his ministry, that's really what he was about. He traveled from place to place, from Ephesus to Galatia to Corinth, and he spoke to all those people in those areas, and he taught the foundation of their lives and that the church's foundation is on Jesus Christ. And he would explain it to a community, and he didn't stay in any one community forever because he knew that this message needed to be spread across all of the lands. So he moved from place to place, establishing what is our foundation. And he was passionate about that, to make sure that people didn't stray, that they would remember that the foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. Paul would have known teachings like was read earlier, that Jim read earlier, the scripture from Matthew. And AJ referred to it also, you know, what do you want to build on? I mean, what do you want to build this church on? Do you want to build it on sand that's going to erode and the building will collapse? Or do you want to build this church on rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ? And that's what he said to the people. God is the rock. And then further, Paul spoke to the people in Corinth in these words. He began with this: according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. Keep listening. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. We've already established that. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. So what does it say to us? Well, first of all, in that scripture, the word foundation is mentioned five times. And again, I believe that's very intentional on Paul's part. He says Christians need to know what their foundation is. He's driving it home. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ, and the only way that we can have quality materials to build up is if we first seek God in this process. And the way that we will do that is we need to begin to build upon this foundation that God has already given to us. So if we understand that this solid foundation is God through Jesus Christ, what we need to do to connect with this before we're even building is what we call discipleship. We need to know that we seek from God and get the opportunity to be strong. In that scripture, it said, you know, you've got a lot of materials you can choose to build from. You can choose to build with straw and hay and sticks and wood. You can choose to do that. But you know, it's just like the fairy tale. When the big bad wolf came along, he went huff and puff, and he blew the house down. And that's the same thing that we have from the church. Because we have to dig into that foundation before we begin to grow what we want to be. And we need to be careful about any kind of diversions that may take us away or in another direction. If we talk about what diverting means, it means to change direction, to lose direction. And in Carmel, I think that we certainly know about what diversions look like, don't we? With all the construction that has been going on for roundabouts, hasn't that created a lot of diversions for us? We've had to change. I know when 126 was under construction, we didn't know if it was open sometimes, if traffic flowed east and west, or if traffic flowed only one way. Our whole being, it was all diverted. And all of this was to create the many roundabouts that we have now. But we can choose to just do what we think we need to do, but we would be like wood, hay, and straw. If we want to be the strength that God intends for us to be and to be to build on the foundation, we need to seek God, and that's through practices of discipleship. When I think of this foundation, we will sing this closing hymn, "The Church is One Foundation." And Samuel Stone is the person who wrote this hymn a number of years ago. And he wrote it because he was concerned that there were several bishops in Africa who were involved in a controversy about Scripture. And he was very concerned about what was happening. And so he wrote that hymn for us. So as your pastor today, what I want us to do is we look at 2018. I want to say that this year for us needs to be about discipleship. Everything that we do, we need to be focusing on discipleship, to continue to grow ourselves, whether we're early in our faith, whether we're mature in our faith, whether we're just entering into this church, wherever we are, we need to be focusing intentionally on how we can grow this discipleship this year. So as I shared the goals and with the Governing Council for 2018 and also with the staff, very much all of the goals have focused on that. And I want to share a few with you today so that we can see the opportunities that will be before us to grow in discipleship this upcoming year. The first one, I will be working with Jill Buckler, who is counselor here at the church. And we have designed a program to develop mentors. And the purpose of these mentors is a couple who has been married for a number of years will be combined with a couple that's currently in premarital counseling and create a connection with the two so that they may get to know one another, grow in discipleship together. Another way that we'll be looking at connecting and growing this discipleship is to encourage authentic relationships more and more intentionally between generations. How can we more intentionally connect persons who are younger in age with persons who are older in age? Because we need each other. We need each other. We can't be separated. We need to come together. So we'll do that again as we work to develop mentors for our confirmands. Those are the children who go through confirmation in sixth grade. We will continue to do that as we look at a couple different all-church kind of experiences so that all of us can come together. And also we look at, as we talk about the leadership and some decisions that are made for this church, to make sure that youth and young adults are involved and connected at all stages of that process as they affect all kinds of ministries. That's significant for growing discipleship. So as we grow, and so in our mission statement, as it says, we grow in biblical learning, I want us to also know that we will be looking at multiple opportunities for us. Excited that we have a full-time person leading that ministry adult discipleship will really allow us to focus on that more this year. And so we'll be taking a look at our entire discipleship process. Discipleship from the moment that someone first comes through the door, discipleship from the moment when people first accept Christ, moving through that time when you become connected with a church, and even for those who are mature believers, to make sure that along the entire line that we're always challenged and always growing. I'll be leading two studies this year, and one of them actually will start in February. We'll start on February 21, and I'll hold it at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. This class will be limited to about eight people each one, but here's the purpose of that class. Again, how do we grow in discipleship in this stage of life? My class will focus and be called POP, and it's going to be about parenting our parents. And I know that many folks are in that stage, maybe getting ready to enter it, maybe in the midst of it, or just coming out of it. And I know that that time in life can be really very challenging in so many ways. And really the question we talk about discipleship in that stage of life, what that says to us is, how can I faithfully move through that experience and that time in my life so that it is an opportunity for me to grow in my faith? And that's what we'll take a look at in those weeks that we are together. If you have questions about that or are interested, please connect with Chris Thornsbury or the church office. And finally, if we're going to talk about growth, the big thing we need to talk about is grow groups. Getting absolutely everyone connected in a grow group as an opportunity for fellowship and for growth and discipleship. I don't think you read anything today in any media about the growth of church that does not mention grow groups. I want to share with you a writing by Karen Nicholas, who is an attorney who is actually very involved in St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Oklahoma. And she was also a delegate to our general conference just about a year ago. And this is what she says about grow groups as she spoke to the church about her concern for the condition of the church. She said, "I know that many of us readily volunteer to fill various roles in the church. We sing in the choir, serve as ushers, chair a committee, or even lead a local mission project. Those roles are needed, but those are not substitutes for participation in small groups where we read and study God's word together, where we are willing to humble ourselves for our own good, and where we challenge one another to grow deeper in our faith in Christ. We need ushers, and we need someone to chair the finance committee. But more than anything, we need people fully invested in becoming mature Christians who know how to and passionately want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. What I am describing here is in part the genius of the Wesleyan expression of the Christian faith. The emphasis John Wesley gave to small accountability groups. If we're to grow again as a church, we laity will have to rededicate ourselves to becoming mature Christians who are equipped to share the good news. That means that we laity need to claim ownership of the small group. Pastors can't do everything for the churches. They, of course, have an important role to play in equipping lay leaders so that they can effectively lead small groups with sound teaching and a good understanding of the Wesleyan approach to Scripture." Grow groups are the key when we talk about discipleship. Earlier this week, as I realized I was going to focus so much on foundation, I emailed David, and he had already prepared and set our closing hymn for today. And I emailed him this question. I don't know if we're going to get it up there or not. In service this Sunday, could we sing "The Church is One Foundation"? So I looked at that, and I thought before I sent it, and I thought, wait a minute, I don't think I said that right, did I? Let's change the punctuation a little bit. Could we sing "The Church is One Foundation"? See the difference? I don't want us to feel like we're questioning, is the church one foundation? I want us to firmly know that it is. What I wanted to say to him was, could we sing the song? I didn't want to say, can we say that the church is one foundation? So what we want to do is start out with that foundation of Jesus Christ. And then we want to build and build and build up upon that foundation, so that with that strong foundation, we have the greatest opportunity to become what God would desire for us to become, because it's so strong and so solid. But the only way for us to make that connection is through discipleship. So I want us to be able to clearly say, yeah, the church is one foundation. And let me tell you what, I know what it is. And when we talk about discipleship as ways that we can practice and connect with this foundation, when we share in a time of communion, that's another time that we also have an opportunity to make that connection. Because when we pause for times of communion, we are focused on Jesus Christ as our foundation, that what he did for us and he does for us is absolutely essential to our faith as Christians. So I'd like to invite you to prepare